Well, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. I've already been accused this morning that I'm re-preaching the same sermon because it's the same text. I assure you I'm not. This story is bigger than where we went last week. It continues. So as you're turning to 1 Kings chapter 18, I want to acknowledge, and I think we can all acknowledge, there are moments in life. There are moments in life where it seems like life can be overwhelming, to say the least. I think most of us, we acknowledge that there are these moments, and so we bring them to God. We start to pray over these moments specifically as they come at us, and we understand that we need to take these thoughts captive, that we take what's going on and we hold it, because we serve a God that is not a God of fear, but a God of love that desires the best of us. And so we understand that God is healer. We understand that God is provider. We understand that God is salvation, that he's all these things that we try to come up with words for. And so we bring the things in this life to him in prayer. And yet I also know and I acknowledge that there are times that even in the midst of, I guess frustration is the best word, that we get to this point where we're tempted, you know, we've been praying or we've prayed and we declare, well, it just doesn't work, in the midst of our own frustration. Usually because it's not being answered the way we want it or as fast as we want the answer. And so we declare, well, it just doesn't work. I've prayed, I've asked God to take it away, and he doesn't. And so we become tempted to really wonder if God is really there and does he really care. And I recognize that the reality that in a group of this size, there are some that are in the midst of that moment right now. That you're struggling, and you pray, and you bring things to God, and you're really starting to wonder, you know, in the midst of that, that your heart is asking, does it really work? And if you're not there, the likelihood is that you've been there before, that you understand the struggle that some are going through, because you've been praying for your marriage. You've been praying for God to take it away in addiction. You've been praying for God to take away the anger that's consuming you, to set you free. You've been asking him to heal a relationship. You've been asking him and asking him and asking him. And it's like, God, why aren't you listening to me? So this morning, we're going to continue to dive into this story and life of Elijah. And this guy understood prayer. Even as short of a passage as we've looked at so far. He came before God with boldness. He came before God with confidence. But James 5:17 says that Elijah was just a regular guy. I know we tend to hand and put people on a pedestal, especially when in regard to scripture. But it says that he was just a regular guy like you and me. And yet, it also continues that he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Now, when I look at Elijah's prayer life, you know, even the evidences of it, because we don't, in these parts, we're not reading the actual prayers as often, but I see a power in the midst of this man of God's prayers. And I start to look at my own life sometimes, and I start to think about many of us, and that when we pray, we tend to pray with a little P, a little R, a little A, and a little Y. And then I look over to, you know, because we tend to pray these generic little quick prayers. You know, God bless this greasy burger that it will nourish my soul. And maybe it'll help with the aches and pains in the joints. It'll grease them up a little bit. Maybe that's part of your prayer. But, you know, God, and since I'm here, God, since I've got your attention, will you help me? You know, would you be with me? Can you bring some healing? Could you just give, and we can fill in the blanks. And while I admit it, that God already knows our hearts and he can understand these prayers, sometimes we just don't have quite the words to pull them all together. And yet at the same time, we look at Elijah and how he prayed with a capital P, a capital R, a capital A, and a capital Y. He prays. He prays with a boldness and with a confidence that God is going to move. So for the past 2 weeks, we've shared in the beginning of the story, you know, Elijah just suddenly comes onto the scene. We've had 200 years of the kings of Israel, of the northern kingdom, that have consistently led the people astray. They've taken their focus off God, and these kings have not taken care of the people that they're supposed to. And they've taken their eyes off of God. And now we have the 19th consecutive king. 19th consecutive evil king. And scripture says he was the worst of all of them. That we have Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And to say that they're evil is almost an understatement in the things that they led the people to do. They're literally destroying God's people from the inside out. And you get this sense that God has been trying, and you know he has, he's been trying to get people's attention throughout this process. And he's been trying to tell these kings, you need to get your act together and lead the people right. And they haven't been listening. They need to fall before God and they need to get things straight, but they haven't. And so God tells Elijah in chapter 17, hey, I need you to go to King Ahab and to his evil wife and declare, here's the deal. No rain for you. You get the reference. No rain for you until I pray otherwise. And God does just that. The rain stops. Elijah issues off to Kereth Ravine. He's provided by the birds. God provides him and sends him off to Zarephath. Then he hangs out there and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. So last week we covered this epic showdown that happens in chapter 18. It ends with Elijah praying and the fire falls and God gets the people's attention and they declare he is Lord. The Lord is God. They declare it. And we didn't get to this point because we don't like to think of it this way, but basically at the very end of that, the people declare that, and Elijah basically says, sick them. They gather up the 850 prophets, take them off to the Kishon Valley, and it says that they are annihilated. He takes care of that part of the leadership issue. Then it says in verse 41 of chapter 18 that Elijah at the same time Right after this happens, he tells Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. And so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. And this is an interesting, this is kind of where it gets interesting, because I realize that while several of us, maybe many of us, at least at some point, struggle with prayer, with our prayer lives, and consistency can be tough. Authenticity can be hard at times. We can feel like maybe God's not answering, and I know that there is more available to us than often we are tapping into. Because I fully believe that if we truly engage, if we truly listen, if we, not just on Sunday morning for this little period of time, but if throughout the week we are immersing ourselves in more than Facebook, but instead that we are immersing ourselves in God's Word, that if we walk toward the light, that He is the light and He will guide us. And that if we're going to walk into this truth that we can implement into our lives as we spend time in God's Word, because it has the potential of transforming our lives. That's how important it is that we dive in and we listen wholeheartedly, and that we invite God into our lives, every part of our lives. And so I want you to join me this morning in a journey as we continue to extract this truth out of this passage of where we need to be. Because I believe in this short little several verses through the end of chapter 18 that we find four different qualities of an effective prayer. And I've struggled with this, because I think it can go both ways. I think it's not just an effective prayer, but just as much an effective prayer. I guess you put the hyphen before the ER. But look at this with me. The first one, effective prayers. I could do it like a Texan and slur it. It'll all sound together. But are humble prayers. Elijah starts climbing to the top of Mount Carmel. He goes to be alone with God, something that we see Jesus do often. But he gets up to the mountain, and he doesn't set up camp. He doesn't do anything. It says that he knows they need rain. It's time. And so he sets aside this moment, and he climbs. Instead of trying to deal with the other people, he gets away and he climbs to the very top. And it says that when he got there, he falls on his knees and buries his head in his face between his knees, and he sits there before a holy God. And you get the sense that he physically humbles himself. He's down before God. And it's this picture of what's also going on spiritually inside of him, because he is spiritually and physically humbled in the midst of this moment. He knows that he is incapable of himself of bringing rain. Only God can do it. Because he didn't declare no rain on his own behalf. He declares it on God's behalf. That God has sent him. And in this humbling of himself, he's declaring, God, I'm small, I'm tiny, I'm inadequate. I can't do this on my own. But God, you are big. God, you are holy. God, you are the sustainer. You are the creator. You are the healer. You are the provider. So he humbles himself before God because he knows that he can't do it, but he knows who can. And we do well to remember what 1 Peter 5 through 6 tells us, that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Don't miss that promise. Don't miss that challenge. Our God, who is the creator, who is the one who can and will lift us up. But what we have to understand is that humility precedes the miraculous in our lives. You want to get God's attention? You want God to move? You want him to listen to the prayer that you're bringing? Humble yourself before him. Don't come to him asking or kind of declaring, God, this is what you're going to do. Secondly, effective prayers are specific prayers and prayers. I'll admit that many times in my life, I understand there. I can be very non-specific. God, be with us. God, give me strength. God, help me. God, be with us. And I kind of just jumble it and throw it because that's kind of where I am in moments. And yeah, I have specific times and specific situations that arise, and I get more specific in those things. I bring before specific needs and issues, but there tend to be a lot of generalities. But Elijah, he's very specific in the midst of this moment. It wasn't, God, you know what we need. God, you know. It's, God, we need rain. We need you to encounter us. We need, you know, it's been 3.5 years, God. You did it. You give it back. Give us water. He knew exactly what he was praying for. He was specific as he asked, and he went before humbly before God. And in James 4, 2 through 3 says, and reminds us, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Remember, humility is where it starts. Again, this isn't a Christmas list kind of thing that we're encouraging you to do. But as we immerse ourselves in God's word, as we pray consistently and we live our lives in the midst of God's presence, we begin to humble ourselves before God. And then it's as we come to him with what we can do without shame, without regret, but we come with boldness because we know we are aligning ourselves with God's desires already. And so we come with courage. And we pray specific prayers that God would move and work. Third thing I see as we watch this is that effective prayers are persistent prayers. So Elijah, he's humbled himself. He's praying the specific prayer, God, give us rain. And he tells his servant, it's followed him up the mountain. Okay, go and look toward the sea. Servant goes, looks, comes back. Nope, nothing. And here's what we need to take note of. Elijah doesn't stop. He doesn't give up. He doesn't say, well, I tried. He doesn't change his prayer either. Instead, he prays it again. God, we need rain. Will you bring it back? And so he sends his servant out once again. He comes back, same result. So he prays again, sends his servant. And each time the servant starts to come back saying, negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. He doesn't give up. He doesn't declare like he kind of did before the priests of Baal, well, maybe God's sleeping here. He doesn't care because he knows better. He knows he's praying and serving the one true God. But in his humility, he's still laser focused in on the specific prayer. And so he keeps praying the specific prayer. And here's what you've got to understand. It's what I love about this, that Elijah doesn't allow the outward circumstances of what's going on to affect his inward assurance of who's really in charge. Even when it seems like God maybe is not moving, that he's not answering the way you want, maybe it's a timing issue, but when it seems like God's not answering or moving, Elijah doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't throw down the towel. He doesn't go down and say, well, I'll come back next week. He doesn't say, well, this doesn't work. I'm done. Instead, he keeps praying. He's persistent. And it says that he goes through this seven times. And James 5:16 reminds us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So in the times when we're down in the dumps and we feel like God's not moving and he's not working, we need to remind ourselves that by writing that verse in our heart, that we need to make sure we're in alignment with God. We need to keep checking our hearts and keep bringing it before God, because when we are persistent in our prayer, that's when we begin to see God move. So here's my question for you this morning. And we all need to answer this question very truthfully. What have you quit praying for that you need to start praying for again? Where is it in your prayer life that you've given up? Maybe it's your marriage. You haven't seen much movement, but you kind of quit praying. Maybe it's for a job. Maybe you've grown tired and weary. Maybe it's your finances or another kind of broken up relationship. Maybe it's for someone in your family that doesn't have a relationship with Christ. And it's been years and you've kind of stopped. It's not that you don't care. It's just you've stopped lifting that person before the Lord. The effect of prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man prevails. So don't quit praying. But number four is that the effective prayers are expectant prayers. Elijah is at the top of the mountain. He's humbled himself. He's praying specific prayers. He's being persistent. He's not quitting. He's not really asking a question. Well, is it raining yet? It's like, go look. Tell me what's coming. And even though the servant comes back, nothing. He says, well, let's pray again. Now go. Tell me what's coming. Not is it coming. Tell me what is. He's not quitting. And so the servant comes back six times with no as the answer. But the seventh time he comes back, Elijah, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand that's starting to rise from the sea. Servant didn't say, Elijah, there's a massive monsoon thunderstorm coming. Better button down the hatches. Yet look at Elijah's response. All the servant said, there's this tiny little cloud that's kind of raising from the sea. And Elijah's response, go and tell Ahab right now, hitch up your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. You better escape, because the rain's coming. Elijah's declaring it's coming. We need to release the emergency management plan, get the ambulance and fire engines going, everybody start putting on life vests because the monsoon, the rain is coming. What you haven't experienced and haven't seen for 3.5 years, it's coming. Get ready. Ahab, you better get down the mountain, because there's a little cloud as small as a man's hand rising up. And I understand, if it's like most of us, and it maybe you're like me, sometimes you go, oh, that's a little cloud. Haven't seen one of those in a while, but, you know, it's just a cloud. So I guess there's a chance of something. It's kind of like we used to live in Kansas, and they'd issue tornado watches. And so we'd go outside to watch, trying to look. Is there really anything coming? Kids, get down in the basement. Let's look. Well, I'm not sure. But Elijah, he's not second-guessing this. He sees the small, tiny cloud. He's expectant. He puts all the stuff into play with the belief and assurance that God is doing the miraculous. The rain is coming. In Mark 11, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Put action in place and believe that God is going to move, that God is going to work, that God is in our midst. And so what happens in Elijah? I love this. We think this only really happens with Peter and John in this race, but it says in verse 45, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Once again, Ahab's not telling Elijah what to do. Elijah is telling Ahab what to do. And Ahab is finally listening. I love this, though. It says, the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. So not only do we have rain coming, God has answered prayers, he's moving on the midst of his people, but now apparently Elijah is the fastest man on the earth. That's awesome. This is the same guy that little kids yell at and say, oh, you bald head, look, bald head. And the bears came and ate the kids. My challenge today is, what are you praying for? What are you consistently humbling before God and bringing on whomever's behalf? As I prepare for this upcoming Saturday and Nadine and Pat's service, one of the things that constantly keeps coming up is Nadine never stopped praying. She had a specific morning prayer and a specific evening prayer, and everything else was listed in between. She consistently prayed for family members that did not know Christ. She never gave up, even to the last. Have you gotten away lately to spend time with God? Have you humbled yourself? Are you bringing the specifics? God knows. I recognize that. God knows our hearts. He knows our intents. He knows our motives. So we check ourselves. We get humble. And then we start praying. God, if it's your will. Not my will, but yours, God. But we got to keep praying. We've got to keep praying. Don't give up. Be specific, be expectant, and give God the glory. Live knowing that God is more than capable in everything that we do. Would you pray with me? God, I woke up this morning praying this very thing, move in the midst of your people. God, work in our midst. But God, I also understand we need to humble ourselves before you. We get so locked into patterns in the busyness of this world. Help us to get away, to intentionally humble ourselves before you. God, stir us. Move in the midst of your people. Change us. We want to be more than just a group that meets, for we are your church. We are your people. May we adhere our lives to you. And God, on behalf of all the people that are here and those that are watching online, God, we lift to you our very specific requests. There are marriages. There are relationships. There are children. There are friendships that we lift before you, and we name those even right now. God, you know what's going on, and you do care. You are moving. Give us the strength to pray, Lord. Draw us into yourself, because Jesus, we need you. We need you more than ever before. God, I watch the news and I shake my head. But I know that even though the news may not reflect what I wish, I know that you are still God. That you are still worthy to be praised, that you are still moving in the midst of your people and your creation, that your Holy Spirit is not squashed. And so we bring to you our requests. We bring to you the specifics, because while you are big, you still care. You know our needs. And Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for finances. We pray for the relationships that we care about. We pray for those that know you but have turned their backs. We pray for their salvation, that they would recognize you as God, that they would seek your forgiveness and choose to live differently as a result. May your salvation change all of us each and every day as we draw ourselves closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. God's blessings upon you.